up, everyone? Thank you for tuning into Tethered, a podcast dedicated to helping followers of Jesus stay connected to Him day by day. My prayer for this episode is that it would encourage you, challenge you, and propel you to abide more deeply in Jesus. I hope you're encouraged by this episode. Let's jump right on in. What's up, everyone? Once again, this is your host, Joey Morales. I really appreciate you listening to episodes here on Tethered. If you've been impacted in any way by these episodes, please subscribe to the podcast to keep up to date on when episodes drop, and please share with your friends and family on social media, however you share things. I would really appreciate it. This is a bonus episode of Tethered. In this episode, my friend Micah Davis shared a message on March 5th, 2023, during a worship night about the importance of God's love being the motivating factor in the life of a follower of Jesus. He also highlights the importance of reminding oneself about the power of the gospel and how preaching the gospel to ourselves before preaching it to others is essential. Without further ado, here is the message that my friend Micah gave during this worship night.
So I'm just going to pray real quick and then I'll start. Dear Lord, thank you for all the people gathered in this room. Thank you that we can just come together freely and just like do things like this, Lord, that stirs our affections for you, God. Lord, forgive me for my lack of devotion and lack of preparation to your word, Lord, and to this message. Lord, I pray that you would just transcend my lack of preparation, that you would just speak to us clearly tonight, Lord, because whenever we read your word, it's clear that you have something for us. And so I just pray that you would just speak through me, Lord. Would you just use me tonight? Would you just open up our eyes, Lord? Open up our hearts to this your word, Lord. Pray that you just continue to sanctify us, Lord, and just to make us just a beautiful bride, Lord, because we're ready for you to come back. Praise things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So I just want to start off tonight with a question, okay? And this is a weird question, but it's just the simple thing of, what do you struggle with? So just think right now in your mind, what are the things that you're struggling with right now? And like, what are the things that you struggle to do? Like, what are the things that you struggle to do when it comes to obeying God? And whatever thing that is, think about it as an overlying symptom, right? Because there's so many external and internal symptoms of a far greater struggle. And I want to suggest that our sins are not only a matter of our effort, are only a matter of our effort to meet legitimate needs in an illegitimate way. And our sin is an attempt to meet legitimate needs in an illegitimate way. And I'm sure, I know for me, I grew up in a household where I had to just obey all of these rules. And I'm sure a lot of us grew up in a household where there's rules, there's expectations, there's things that we needed to do. And I know maybe a lot of us were told as kids, oh, you know, just be kind to your friends, be kind to your neighbors, just be kind. You know, a lot of us were told that whenever we messed up or we did something wrong, to tell our parents, right? Because they wanted us to tell. And even there's other of us, there's probably times then that we should have obeyed our parents and they wanted us to obey them simply because maybe they said so, right? I know that growing up, that was something in my life. Okay, obey me because I said so. And I know some of us have such a hard time honoring God and obeying God because we had such a hard time honoring and obeying our earthly parents. And what I've come to realize is that the source of my disobedience stemmed from a lack of understanding that my parents cared for me. That my disobedience stemmed from the lack of understanding that my parents loved me. And this is a picture of a lot of our relationships with God, because we go to church, a lot of us are involved in church, and we serve and we do all of these things. We read the Bible, we hear pastors preach, but a lot of times, if we're being honest, there's still something off in our heart. There's still something off in our heart. And I say that tonight because we're going to be looking at a passage in 1 John 3 tonight. And before we read it, I just want to remind us that God's love is the best motivation. Is the best motivation to obey the commandments of the Bible. God's love is the best motivation to obey the commandments of the Bible. And more than that, God's love is that which empowers us to obey God and to love people well.
That's good.
And so I want to suggest that God's loving kindness towards us, which was displayed on the cross of Calvary, is the catalyst that catapults us into Christian conduct and caring about the things of God. His love towards us that was displayed on the cross of Calvary is the catalyst by which we can even care about the things of God. And so the idea for tonight is just believe that God loves you. Like, if we could all just do one thing when we leave, it's just like believe that God loves us. And so the book of 1 John talks about God's love a lot. 1 John 3:1 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God." And truly, this is the central message of 1 John. It is the essential message of the New Testament and really the entire Bible, is that the Father has bestowed his love upon us that we should be called children of God. And when John was writing the Gospel of John, he wrote in chapter 3 that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And so John spoke about God's love a lot. John spent a lot of time with Jesus. He experienced God's love in a very practical, first-handed way. And now John is now writing this letter to all Christians. John is in his 90s now. He's an older man. But specifically, the passage we're reading tonight, he's speaking to younger Christians because he starts off by saying, "My children." And so just imagine that John is like a grandfather or even a great-grandfather, and we are his grandchildren or even great-grandchildren, and he's speaking to us. And so we're going to pick up in 1 John 3:18. It says, "My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him." And so a little earlier in this chapter, John was writing about seeing a brother in need. And when we see somebody in need, it's not always enough just to give them words of encouragement and then to do absolutely nothing with our actions. Because compassion without action is just observation. And so John is encouraging us to not just love with our words, but to let our life and our actions be loving as well. We're supposed to love in deed and in truth. And I think we hear this verse, and intrinsically we know that we can't just see someone in need and we have the means to meet that need and then do nothing about it while simultaneously saying that you love people. And so, yet functionally, this is what we do. We see somebody in need and we say, "Hey, if you need something, let me know." And we think it's loving to do that. But here's what's going on right now. There are so many needs in this room, in Lee Summit, in the world, in the church. There are so many needs. There are relational needs, emotional needs, physical needs, spiritual needs all around. And God has given us the means to meet them with our words, our actions, our finances, our spiritual gifts. And if we're not doing anything to meet them, I don't really know if we're loving people the way that God wants us to love people, if we're not meeting those needs. And so I just want to ask you tonight, just think, are you a loving person? Like, are you a loving person? Do you love the things that God loves? And do you love the way that God loves? Do you love the way that God loves? And here's what I know to be true, is that verse 19, it says that, "But that by the way we're loving one another, that is the metric by which we can affirm that we are children of God." That is the metric by which we can affirm that we are children of God. John could have wrote a lot of things. He could have wrote that memorizing scripture was the way that we assured our hearts that we are of God. He could have wrote that going to church. He could have wrote that being in community, teaching good sermons, serving at Paradigm. He could have wrote all of those things, all of those things that those are the way that we assure our hearts that we are children of God. But he didn't write those things. He wrote that when we love in deed and in truth, this is how we will assure our hearts that we are before God. And it's almost offensive to think about the fact that we can serve at Paradigm, we can be in community, we can do discipleship, we can worship, we can give generously, we can evangelize, we can even lead the lost to Christ, and we can do all of these things, and it's offensive that if we don't do them out of love, the scripture says that we are nothing and that we're doing nothing.
We'll be back after a brief break. Hey, what's up, everyone? We really appreciate you listening to episodes here on Tethered. If you've been impacted in any way by these episodes, please subscribe to the podcast to keep up to date on when episodes drop. Also, if you enjoy this podcast, will you please consider rating this podcast in your favorite podcasting app? Please leave us a comment. Finally, please share this podcast with your friends and family on social media or however you share things. We would really appreciate it. Thank you for listening to Tethered. Now back to the episode.
And so, love is essential in the Christian life, right? 1 Corinthians 13. Love is essential in the Christian life. And so, do you do what you do out of love? Like, do you, when you stand before Jesus, when we meet Jesus face to face someday, like, will you be able to say, I love people the way that you want me to love them? Or did we just do this list of things and it wasn't out of love? And so in this passage, to assure in this passage means actually to persuade. And so the way that we love other people is actually what persuades our hearts that when we come before God, that we are of God. And I know me, my heart needs a lot of persuasion that, like, I'm a child of God, because the scripture says that our hearts are desperately wicked and beyond cure. And I need persuasion because there's a lot of times when I don't love people very well at all. A lot of times. And I see needs and I sit passively and just watch people in need. Our hearts are jacked up. Like, our hearts are wicked. Like, we need persuasion, but the way that we get that persuasion that we are of God, that we are children of God, that we have received salvation, is when we love people with our actions. And so verse 20 says, "For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and knows all things.
That's good.
Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God." And so, in my family the last, like, several years, I have an older sister who is like the prodigal child. She's been in and out of jail for the last 15 years. She's been on drugs. She's had 3 kids. We're actually fostering her 3rd child right now. And it's just been a lot of pain for my family, like, especially my mom. But the point I'm trying to make is that my mom isn't perfect, but my mom has had so much compassion on her and has loved her so well. And the sad thing is that there's probably still days that my mom's heart feels extremely condemned, even though she has loved my older sister well. And, man, I just want you to take a second and think about a time when it seems like you did everything right, right? You might not have been perfect, but you loved well. You didn't do everything perfect, but you honored God by the way that you cared for somebody or the way that you had compassion for somebody. And just think about a time when you did that. And there's this idea that if we do everything God wants us to do, then our desired outcome will come to fruition. Like, that is how a lot of times we think. If we do everything that God wants us to do, then our desired outcome will come to fruition. And obedience is not determined by the outcome, but by our faithfulness to the will of God. And I'm saying this because John is letting us know that our hearts are going to condemn us, even if we love indeed and truth. Like, there's going to be times when your heart is going to feel condemned, even if you did love indeed and truth. And when this happens, we take hold of the truth that God is greater than our emotions.
Right.
God is greater than our emotions. God is greater than our feelings. He can see our innermost being. He knows our thoughts. He knows what we think. He knows how we think. And he understands us. And it's important to remember that our perception of an outcome will not separate us from the love of God.
Right.
Our perception of an outcome is not going to separate us from the love of God. And so what are we supposed to do? Like, when our hearts condemn us, what do? Well, first we come to realize that our feelings and our hearts are horrible leaders, right? Horrible leaders. But we have to trust that God sees our hearts. We have to trust that God sees our hearts, our motives, our intentions. In verse 21, it says, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And so the method by which we move from feeling condemned to having confidence before God is going to God in prayer. And so Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And notice that this verse gives us a progression. It gives us a progression that we first come to God boldly knowing that he knows all things, and then we receive mercy and help from the Lord when our hearts are condemned and in a time of need. And it's only in that order we come to God in faith, regardless of how we feel. And then we receive mercy and help from the Lord when our hearts are condemned and in need. And so verse 22, it says, and whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And man, I like that. Whatever we ask, we receive from him. Because we keep his commandments. And so it's like, okay, what's the commandment? What's the commandment? And the good news is that he's literally about to tell us. So verse 23. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us his commandment. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us.
Amen.
And so the commandment of God is to believe the gospel. The commandment of God is to believe the gospel. And intellectually we know this, that we need to believe the gospel every day. Like, we know that. That's running through our minds for a lot of us. I need to believe the gospel. We know that we're supposed to believe the gospel. But for some reason, we think it's more important to share the gospel with somebody that's never heard it than to actually believe it yourself. We think it's more important to share the gospel with somebody who's lost than to believe it ourselves. And I know, like, obviously, like, the thing we're supposed to do is to share the gospel. But it's like, God wants us to believe the gospel ourselves every single day. And so, when we believe the gospel, the word says that we abide in Christ and Christ in us. And we just need to realize that we need the gospel as much as anybody does. And I don't need the gospel less than someone else who doesn't have a relationship with Jesus. I don't need the gospel less than someone who doesn't have a relationship with Jesus. None of us need the gospel, or none of us, we need the gospel just as much as anybody, no matter if they have a relationship or not. And so the gospel is for the lost, and the gospel is for the saved. And the gospel is for the newly justified, but also for the longtime sanctified.
Right.
And so the gospel is what we're going to fix our eyes on for our entire life. Like, that is the one thing that God wants us to do, is to believe the gospel. To believe the gospel. And because of God's love for us, because of the gospel, that God demonstrated his own love toward us, that while we were still so broken, unrighteous, filthy sinners, Christ died for us. And out of God's love, that is how we will fulfill the calling to love one another and to come confidently before God and to pray confidently and to obey God's word and to believe in the name of the Son of God. Like, that, God's love for us is how we're going to do that. And so we're called to believe the gospel. And so, like, do you know the gospel? Like, do you actually know the gospel? Because the entire message of the Bible is based on God's love, and that's the gospel. And the Bible says that we're separated from God, eternally condemned, eternally separated Romans 6:23 says that for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. Free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But it's important to remember that the gift wasn't free for everybody. The gift was not free for everybody. It cost God everything just to save us. And so, I just want to challenge us to continue to believe the gospel. But again, if you don't know, we are spiritually dead in our sins and trespasses. Like, that is where we came from. And it's so important to remember how broken we still are and where we came from, that we were dead. A dead body can't do anything, right? You are completely lost and helpless. Dead bodies sit in the middle of the street and just get ran over in other countries. Like, there's nothing there saving them, right? And in the same way, we are dead in our trespasses and sins. But Romans 10 says that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you'll be saved. That if we call upon the name of the Lord, that he will hear us and that we can put our faith in him and that he will save us. And so if you haven't put your faith in Christ, like, your next step is to repent of your sins and to realize that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, and that if you trust that he got what you deserve so that you can have what he deserves, and if you trust that, God will save you.
Amen.
And so, if you have confessed Christ as Lord, the only way that, like, we're going to be able to love people the way that God wants us to love people and meet those needs, the only way that we're going to be able to come confident before the throne of grace and prayer before God, the only way that we're going to be able to obey God, the only way that we're going to be able to obey God is by giving your life's work to believe the gospel. Like, for the rest of our lives, just focusing on believing the gospel, believe that Jesus is enough. And for the rest of our lives, we should seek to understand the gospel. And we will come to realize that it is a mystery, yet we will spend eternity enjoying all of its benefits. For the rest of our lives, we should seek to understand the gospel, and that we will come to understand that it's a mystery, and we will spend eternity enjoying its benefits. And so I'm going to pray for us, and then we're gonna move on. Lord, thank you for tonight, God. Thank you just for this group of people in this room, Lord. How we can just come together, Lord, and Lord, it just stirs my affections for you. Just seeing you, Lord, just like give you my heart and realize like you are my ultimate satisfaction, Lord. Lord, I pray that we would, Lord, I pray that you just help us to love people well, Lord. I pray that you just give us a burden to not just love with our words, Lord, but I pray that you just give us a burden and sense of urgency, Lord, to love people and meet needs, Lord, with our actions, Lord, with our finances, with everything that you've given us, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you would just help us to believe the gospel, Lord. I pray that that you would just help us to believe, Lord, that you love us. Lord, I pray that you would give us a deeper understanding and awareness of how frail and weak we are without you. Lord, I pray that you would help us to just believe that you are enough for us, Lord, that we don't have to run to other things, Lord. Like, you've literally set so much of us free, and Lord, we praise your name because of that. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here tonight, Lord, that does not know you, God, I pray that that you would just completely cover them with your love, Lord. I pray that you just stir up something inside of them, Lord, where they realize that they don't have a relationship with you, and that they literally they just need you. They need you. They need you to save them, Lord. And I pray that if anybody's here tonight, Lord, that you would just do that, Lord. God, I'm just grateful for tonight again. Thank you for this group of people, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity just to speak, Lord. Thank you for just what you've been doing in my life, Lord, and just the calling that you put on my life. And I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to Tether. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with your friends and family. Please also tap the subscribe button to receive notifications when new episodes are published. You can also follow Tethered on Instagram by clicking on the link in the episode notes. Hope this episode has encouraged you, built you up, and blessed you. To God be the glory. See you next time. God bless.